No, we've had enough snow. I don't know if that should have been played. It's just not fair, really. Now the expectations are so high. But you know what? I wouldn't mind having him as one of my heroes. He's awesome. I used to like Ahmed, the dead terrorist, but nah, he's nothing compared to Sai. Sai's alive and on fire for Jesus, so he's got to hold a bunch more. Praise the Lord. How many have had a really good day today? How many is excited about Jesus? Almost everybody. We'll get there yet. Praise the Lord. You can turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. When God begins to work on you, He has a way of not letting go until you really decide to do something about it. And it actually began to stir in my spirit, I guess it's last month now, since we were gone for half the month. And I've left part of my gray matter in Mexico. We had the guest speaker here, Dr. Anybody tell me who he was? Well, on the Wednesday nights, we had the Frider. Thank you. And we had a great time with him, and there was something in the midst of all of that that really began to speak to my heart. And almost everywhere I went since then, this whole idea has continued to deposit in my spirit and ultimately won't go away. But we're going to read the entire chapter of 1 Corinthians 13, and I'm sure you know what we're talking about here. So let's read it first, and we'll get into what I have in my heart. The kids are staying with us today, and I'll have to use some discretion because God has placed something deep into my heart, and I've got some things I want to share that I think that are important, and ultimately I think is going to pull us or may force us out of our comfort zones as a church. And sometimes it's good to be pulled out of comfort zones. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I have nothing. You know, I can place our fellowship right here into a number of things. It talks about the worship that we have, the gift of prophecy, wisdom, walking by faith. Have we not all been doing that and forced into doing that in some areas? But our worship is fabulous. We have a great word that comes every Sunday, but it says if we have not love, it means nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But where there is prophecy, they will fail. Where there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then, face to face, now I know in part, but then I shall know just as also I am known. And now abide faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. A few weeks ago, we had our discussion, and we were being taught, and we have discussion time on what are Muslims and what is ISIS. And are there good people in the middle, and are they all fundamental radicals, or what are they? And one of the things that became clear both times that we got together on our Wednesday nights, we were drawn back to one thing as believers. And that was love. God set the example for us by laying his life down, or letting his son die for you and I on the cross. The greatest gift of all, the ultimate example of love. Love comes basically in two areas. One is the agape love, the God kind of love that we see demonstrated through the cross. And the other is filio. And the Vines describes it as tender affection. Filio falls into the category of the love that I have for Kelly. But it can also fall into the category of the love that I have for Wayne and Jim and Katie and all of you here. But that kind of love can be moved by feelings, circumstances, situations. We can all attest in our relationships with our spouses that there are days that we don't love our spouses as much as other days, because our feelings have been moved or shaken, or circumstances, or we've said the wrong thing and we've offended, or they've offended us. That's filio. Agape is not moved by anything. It goes beyond the realm of the natural that we all walk in every day. This is the love that's found in 1 Corinthians. It's the kind of love that says, I'm willing to lay my life down no matter who it is. No matter who it is. Let's go back to last Sunday for a moment. I couldn't help but think through last Sunday, which brought me thinking through a number of things in the last few weeks. How was Sunday last week? What happened last week? Can anybody tell me what happened last week? You had to remind me. Last Sunday, what did we have last Sunday? We had a great worship service. Oh, the worship is just awesome. We had a great time of giving everybody each other hugs. Wasn't that great? I'm beginning to notice that we just take longer and longer. Now pastor says, everybody, you can stop now. I think that's quite healthy myself. And we had a great teaching. I got spoken to so much. I love the teaching that pastor had this week. Great teaching. So we had a good service. And then Kelly and I and a few good friends had a good meal at Ricky's. So we had a great Sunday. And then Jordan and I began to work together on another level for him. We did a couple estimates together as I began to teach him. So I think I had a good Sunday. But what else happened here on Sunday morning? It's important. What else happened Sunday morning? Rainbow. Worship? Nope. Yes, they were. But there was an orphaned heart that came in that we were almost annoyed by. Yes. How many of us turned around when this gentleman came in and he was too noisy? How many of us were actually a little bit offended because he ruined the flow? Maybe some of you weren't bothered. Oh, Kyle, you're nice. He's pointing fingers. But I almost heard, I would say, because I'm sitting in the second row here. Where was I sitting? I was sitting here, I think. And I know I went twice. And I bet you I'm not the only one that turned to see what was going on. And I was actually really getting into my pastor's message, because I began to look at my own life and some of the things, and I was really beginning to see that I was dealing with some of this, what he was talking about. This guy was ruining my concentration. So where was the spirit in me that was operating? Because out of all of us that sit in this building, there was the biggest orphan of all of us. And we were a little bit annoyed. And Sean had to do a lot of work to try to keep the guy settled down. And I don't know if you all know, but Sean ended up being able to pray for him, because he's got a he found out from the doctors he's got a heart problem. He came in to get prayer. That's huge. But it got me thinking, and then this was even before Sunday, I had to take one of my employees out to Nipawin. So I drove him out there. He goes to Pastor Kevin's church, Justin. I tell you, he's just an awesome young man of God. He's wired for Jesus. We started talking about this whole dimension of church and who comes in the door. And is the church ready for it? And as I began to look at this, I had a thought as I was putting my notes together. How many here remember the little bracelet that we used to wear and it went WWJD? I really miss that. Because when you may have had it on your wrist, it made you think, if you looked at it now and then, what would Jesus do? What would he have done for this man that came in? And I'm really poor with names. I don't remember his name. Do you remember his name, Sean? Ronnie? Ronnie. When he came in the door, what would Jesus do? Because of the fact that Jesus walked in the love of God, he had agape love functioning continuously in his life. He never sinned. He controlled his emotions. So what would Jesus do? I had a couple situations that happened recently. One really spoke to me after I got home. When we were in Mexico, we needed water shoes. Kelly and I did, because we were going to this thing called Explore, and there was zip lines and going through caves and the water and everything else, lots of water, and it was lots of fun. And so we come into this little place that we were used to shopping in, and Kelly got kicked out of one store there because she was too nasty as a shopper. And here was this booth, this little portable, you know, you see them in the malls, this little kiosk, and they had the shoes. So we quickly took a look at the price. Now we're going to go bargain shop, see if we can find a better price. And we came back, and when I came back, I noticed a gentleman sitting in his chair, and if I can be honest, positioned in a certain way that was very effeminate. And I happened to notice his fingernails were longer than Kelly's, and they had nail polish on them. And the way he was sitting in the nail polish, I went, I don't want to talk to him. I don't want to do business with that guy. And so another guy showed up, and we dealt with him, and we ended up buying shoes from that kiosk so we could go to Explore the next day. So here I am reacting to what I saw. Never mind my love, God's love was nowhere near in the picture. And then when I've been back since, I've been into a local convenience store, I think it was a 7-Eleven, and the gentleman that was behind the counter, or one of the few people, had a black turban. And I instantly reacted negatively to this man. Never communicated with him because he didn't serve me. But I looked at him and I had negative thoughts about him. And that's sad, because really we only have one offense to communicate life to that man, and that is God's love. And over the years, in business, there is one group of people, actually, there's two groups of people that I won't deal with, not directly. And one is of Middle Eastern persuasion, because, quote, they have a reputation, so I'm not going to deal with them, I may not get paid. And there's a bad reputation with a lot of the reserves up north, and it's really sad, so I'm going, no, I won't deal with them, I'll kind of indirectly work for them. But you see, this is what really begins to speak to me. And Justin was the one who brought it up. What do we do when a couple comes into the church and it's Harry and Larry and they're not just a couple of good old boys? What do we do? What's our response? How do we respond to the couple that may come into the church? Do we right away challenge their lifestyle? You see, the crux of the matter is, if we're to walk in God's love, number one, we've got to learn to allow the Holy Spirit to begin to do what He does best. Because you and I will never change a couple like that by what we say. We'll never do it. The best that we'll get is an argument. And all we're doing is we're taking Scripture and we're arguing Scripture to someone about what they're doing, and hypothetically, if not hypothetically, but realistically, the vast majority know it's not right anyways. But they can't get out of it, or they don't think they can get out of it. I remember many years ago, we've got some good friends that we haven't seen in years back in Courtney. This might have been 82, 83. Young couple came into the church, and they were living together. And they weren't saved. They were saved. He got saved first by watching Billy Graham on TV. He gave his life to Christ through the TV. And they were living together. And the wisdom of our pastor was he never said a word to them. And the day that they got saved, both of them, they went to separate bedrooms. Because they knew, until they were married, it wasn't right. And nobody taught them that. But the Holy Spirit spoke to their hearts. And it was such a beautiful thing to see. And they just shined for the Lord. If there was ever a couple that Kelly and I have ever met that were perfect to meet new people at the door, was this couple. Extraordinary door greeters. It was just like they loved you with the love of God the moment you walked in, and it didn't matter who it was. Now, we could have told them that they could not do what they were doing. It may have offended them, and they may have walked out the door and never seen them again. But within 4 months, they were married, and in that four-month time from when they got saved, they went to separate bedrooms. God's ways are so incredible. It astounds me at the way He works. I want to share a story with you, and this is where I have to be careful. I may have shared it before, but it begs your thought process and prayers, ultimately, on how do we react. But when Kelly and I were in Nanaimo, we were part of the leadership team, and actually at one point we're being groomed to take over the church, and a man came into the church who was a Christian and was on probation. And he wanted to be part of the church, and he wanted to be involved. Now, I took a lot of counsel from Pastor Glenn, lots of it, because he had become my pastor at that point in time. So I started meeting with this fella, and it was basically what we were doing as a church there, is we need to know you. If you want to get involved, you want to get involved singing, or you want to get involved in sound systems, or you want to be involved in daycare or greeter, we need to know you a bit. So it was generally like a six-month thing. Then, hey, you know, we need your help. There's always things to do. So during that process, I'm working on having coffees with him, and we're meeting, and he would never clearly open up. And then one day he said, why don't you come out to my place for coffee? He had a little apartment about 20 minutes out of town, so I went over there. And I sat across the table from him. And there's very few crimes in society that will get people feeling ill, but the crime that he had committed was as bad as it gets, without being descriptive, because of the children. And I sat across from him. My normal thought is to take him out behind the woodshed and solve the problem very quickly. And I sat across from him and I loved him. But it wasn't me, because there's no way I could. But I sat across the chair from him at the table, and I sat there and I looked at him, and I loved him. And this happened 12 years ago, and I can still get very choked up about it, because it was God that was working through me in a way I've never seen before. How do you love someone like that? We can't do it naturally. And here was a man that wanted to come into our church and be part of it. He had such a brutal fall. It doesn't get any worse. And I loved him. And I still love him. I haven't seen him in years. But I said, he wanted to stay in the church. And that's when I really began to talk to Pastor. Because that's a difficult one, as difficult as it comes. And I sat across from him and we'd meet again. We start meeting very regularly, and I said, okay, you're sitting in the back. If you want to go anywhere, you're going with someone else. You want to do anything in the building, you're going with someone else. Use a washroom, you're going with someone else. And he followed everything. I said, if I want to go onto your computer, I can go onto your computer 24/7. Anytime I want to do, I can knock on your door. And he followed everything, all the rules that we gave. And if we caught something that was just nothing wrong, but it just had a slight appearance, but don't get me wrong, there was nothing that would be really bad, but it was just, you know what? Oh, I don't want you doing that. And he would stop immediately. 6 months later, he's handling the sound system. And he's shining for the Lord because we loved him. I shared that with you because I have a question. Is the penal system going to heal that man? Is the local government, provincial government, or federal government going to heal that man? How is he going to get healed? Through Jesus Christ. Who are his hands and his feet? We are. There are challenges that we face as a church that are monumental. But I'm convinced that God will bring people into our lives that produce huge challenges. But he's saying, are you willing? Are you willing to walk in a different kind of love that goes beyond how you feel? Like I said, take the gentleman out behind the woodshed. Are you willing to operate in a love that goes beyond the circumstance and love unconditionally? I would love to see Muslims start to come into this door because we have a reputation of loving everybody. And we can show them who the true Father is. Amen. Not Allah. Amen. Not Muhammad. But Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that sets them free. Turn to Luke chapter 15. Pastor shared this scripture on Sunday. And I hope I'm not going too long because it's not my goal on a Wednesday night. Wow, I've still got a half an hour I can go. We're supposed to be done by 8:30, so I'm only kidding. Luke chapter 15. We know the story extremely well. I grab a hold of this scripture and I just rejoice in the fact that I may have some prodigals right now in my family and as my children, but they're going to come back running for the Lord. They're coming back. We sat in front of Tony Miller and it was kind of a private little meeting, and he came up to Kelly and I and he says, you've got kids, right? Yep. He said, God just wanted to tell you that all is well. All is well. God is good. We know the story of the prodigal son. He took his inheritance from his dad, his portion, and he went out and, in our terms, lived the wild side. Went and did everything that he possibly could with the money that he was given. Maybe some good things, maybe he got some toys, but one translation called it riotous living. I think that's the King James. How do they put it in here in the New King James? They went a little bit more mellow with prodigal living. I like the other one, riotous. And he finds himself at the end of his journey feeding pigs, and I had written down probably eating some of it because he didn't have any food and they didn't give him any food to eat. And he's looking at these cobs that the pigs are eating, and we all know how nasty pig muck is. There's lots of pig poop in the pig mud. And he's looking at their food going, and he probably ate some. And a revelation came, but gee, my father takes care of his slaves. Maybe I can come back as a slave. So let's read here farther on at verse 17. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? And I will rise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and he came to his father, and when he was still a great far off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servant, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandal on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it. And let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to have a party. I wonder how he smelt. Bet you he didn't smell very good because he couldn't even afford to eat. I'm sure he didn't go to some bathhouse and get cleaned up before he came back to see his father. He was probably had the same clothes on that he was sitting in a pig trough with. How many here have smelt pigs? It don't get much worse. You can be 50. I remember driving from Portage la Prairie to Winnipeg many years ago to go to a conference or a church meeting because we lived in Portage. I don't know where the pig farm was, but we knew there was one there. Oh, man, that's bad. And I can imagine, here he comes, and he is filthy. And he smells like the pigs, and he looks like the pigs. And his father says, let's give him the best robe we've got, and let's put the ring on his finger. Let's take the calf, and let's have a party, because he who was dead is now alive. And there was celebration. How does, and this is what we need, I think this is part of what we need, how does the father view that man that came in Sunday morning? He gave his son to die for him. That's how he views him. And I am so convinced that we are not in this building on the corner of 9th Street and Central Avenue just to be in this building so that this building can pay all our bills. I'm convinced that's not why we're here, because once this is properly running, it'll cover all the expenses completely. It's been budgeted right out. Bank wanted it. They wanted to know exactly what kind of budget we can forecast for this building as it functions with as a convention center and having different Central Avenue all up and operating and having the government working in there and the daycare's finances coming in and the school, and it's all budgeted out. And if it's all working properly, we're self-sufficient. Completely. Do you think that's what God wants? There's really no faith once it's up and running 100%. But we are surrounded with the people that needs Jesus. It doesn't take long to live in this community to see just how big the need is. Whether it's West Flats, East Flats, it doesn't matter. We don't have to just look at First Nations over off to our west side. There is needy people everywhere. And God is calling us to be a part of reaching them. But I really see that it's going to take us being ready to either let him get into the boat or we get out of the boat. We had a good friend who was here for a day, and I think he came into the church once. This man is as radical as it comes for Jesus, but if I can be honest, almost as dysfunctional as he is radical. He can't spend any time in churches. He just gets too frustrated and upset. He is so hardcore evangelist that at one point we were back in Courtney. He joined AA, not because he needed counsel, because he wanted to reach every one of these people that were going to AA for Jesus. And he brought them all to the church. Every one of them. And we didn't know how to take care of them. And we lost them all. We didn't know how to respond. We didn't know how to open our arms and love them, because there was a number there that were like, wow, this is really difficult people. And we didn't know how to do it. I just feel tonight that we need to prepare our hearts, because I don't think we're that far away. We are already having people coming in through those doors and going, what's this Embassy Church like? More and more people are even just starting to see what we're all about here. Some will stay, some won't. But in the midst of those that come in, wouldn't it be interesting if Harry and Larry decide to check it out? And maybe they find out that we're not offended by them and we love them. Is it possible? My goodness, it is. But I don't think I'm saying anything that God isn't speaking to others already. I remember, Sean, you brought it up at those two sessions that we had. And I know, Katie, you brought it up as well about somebody that you know that is living the alternate lifestyle. And what do you do? How do you reach out to them? Do we love them or do we ignore them and go, ooh? You were mentioning the same thing, Sean. What do we do with the people that come into, and this is the way I describe it. We have approximately 6 feet, unless you're half pants, who works for me, and it's 5 feet. I call it the sphere of influence. When people get inside this area here, I have an opportunity to influence. I have an opportunity to be the arms and the hands and the feet of Jesus when they're inside this space. What happens when somebody of an alternate lifestyle comes inside that space? What do? I made a point this Sunday at Ricky's, because there was a gentleman that served us that was rather effeminate. And I purposely communicated and smiled. I purposely, because other times it's kind of like, because I wanted to. Because he needs Jesus. And to me, this is the whole point of what my heart cries out for tonight. I don't want to see anybody that comes in the door because God has somehow prompted them through there to come in, and they leave feeling no different or have not experienced the love of God. Because how they're going to experience the love of God is not some mystical thing that's going to come through the ceiling. It's going to be through you and I. That's how they'll experience the love of God. I don't want to see anybody miss that opportunity. So my heart for tonight is not to tell anybody off, because that's not the intention. I've just searched my heart so much lately in the last few weeks, just, boy, am I making mistakes. But I'm challenging myself and I want to challenge you. Let's prepare our hearts. The greatest of all gifts that we've been given is the love of God working through us. Amen? Amen. Amen. Do you have some announcements?